Behold, an army shall come. A fire burneth before them, and behind them is a flame that burneth. The land before them is as the garden of Eden, and behind them a great wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so they shall run. Join firmly Lazarus, he takes you on a journey into God's own word. It's building time, building time.
It is not enough to have seen Jesus. You need to understand what he brought, the essence. Because unto you it is given to know something. Why? Others will see, but they cannot perceive. Perception is more powerful than sight. You can be around Adeboye and yet not anointed. Because you are seeing something and you've entered into familiarity. You hear what I'm saying here? But when it is a revelation in your spirit, you cannot be familiar. Because every light from God shows you your true form and you are humbled. Every light. It shows you your state and you cannot lift your voice in pride. And Paul was on, meaning that Paul had always loved God. He thought he was doing God a favor. You know, he thought he was helping God. But when he saw that, hold on, the same God that I thought I was helping is the same one who is asking me, why are you kicking against the pricks? Then meaning that I was not helping God. And immediately his heart was soft. And then he yielded. And then he began to proclaim the same Jesus that he was nailing to the cross again. Please pay attention. And then Jesus led him, said, you go to a street, I don't want to go there. And then in his first ministerial journey, they had to let Paul down in a basket so he could escape. What makes you feel that because you encountered shame where you went to minister, so it was not the Lord that led you there? What makes you feel that because you were not treated properly where you went to represent God, it means the Lord didn't lead you there? Are you aware that if you are not broken on the inside, God will allow those who are not broken at all to help you to come to that stature? Paul needed to learn something. And he had to be passed through a school. Sir, there is something called the school of the spirit. And it has nothing to do with listening. It has everything to do with participation. Alright, it is a practical class. You have been teaching brokenness. Let's expose you to it. True or not true?
Yeah. What do you say? I love God. I will do anything for the Lord.
I will serve him. I love the Lord. I love him. Anything, Lord. Alright, hold on. You know, it is people who don't have experience that shout. And someone who knows what it means to love God is just looking at you.
You know, Pastor here, they always said something in the ministers' conference in RCC 2011. He said, when you tell a baby Christian God loves you, you jump. Because the Father makes provision for those he loves. Matthew 6. He said, the best of the year, they don't even think about what they will eat. Say, but I, the Lord, provides for them. See, there's provision, glory. And you see, it's your hand, a friend of God. Do you know what God does with his friend? You don't want to be friend, go and kill your only first one. That's what God related to. This my own, what sustains God's love language is sacrifice. He wants to be on top all the time. He wants to be the only one that you have as your priority. You know. And then see, babies rejoice when they hear God loves them. When you tell a more mature believer that God loves you, said you will feel it, because those that God loves, he chastises. He knows that now that God loves me, he will not take nonsense from me. He will not chastise me. If I should make any mistake, he will correct me. But when you tell a man of deeper revelation that God loves you, you will cry. Because that was the same way God loves Jesus with an everlasting love, but he sacrificed him. So you are coming into ministry and you are aware. You know what you are coming into? You are coming to join the league of those that the fools will come and abuse you. I'm sure they are saying they are big fools. They're all pastors. And then you have not even experienced something though. Just somebody just look at you and say, what did you preach, sir? I'm disappointed in you. And then you go and drop your Bible and say, what am I doing in ministry? What have you faced? Let me tell you something. If the fuel that drives you thrives on the opinion of men, you have not met Jesus. Abba. Right? Men are accusing you. They are doing what to you. So Paul said, this is the secret of my ministry. I, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus, beseech you. That is, I have come to a stage in my life that I have discovered that true freedom is being under the subjection of Christ. You know, freedom... I don't want to teach. Freedom, according to God's definition, has nothing to do with just setting something free. Because if you set this person free and you leave him alone on his own, he's not free. Yeah? He's not free. A free believer is not a believer who is on his own. A free believer is the one who is under the submission of Christ. That's how to experience true freedom. Because any other thing is entanglement with the yoke of bondage. In fact, there's nobody who is not submitted to something. So to think that you are not submitted to something is to not understand freedom. Alright? True freedom here is that now you are not a slave to sin. You are a slave to righteousness. Alright? Let me tell you something. A mature Christian doesn't pitch his tent in where the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness is a gift. You understand, but went on to say that he that doeth right is righteous. There's a place that it is a gift. Right? There's a place where you go deeper and then you start walking in the light of the gift you have received. True or not true? So Paul said, this is the secret. I, Paul, a bond in Matthew chapter number 18, Jesus was asking, Matthew 16, 18, asking disciples, search it out. And then he was asking them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then he said, some said you are Elijah, some said that you are, what again? All right. I think I've thought about this before, that those people who said, those are different levels of growth. Some who understand prophecy, some who don't understand. But those who said you are Elijah, they know the word of God to make, because in Malachi 4, Elijah is supposed to come again. Yeah. So, yeah, Matthew 16, thank you. Alright. But he said to them, when Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, alright, three definite articles. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Peter wasn't the rock. The rock is a revelation of Jesus as the Son of the living God. He said, upon this revelation, this rock, this is the root of the church. I, the Lord, will build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. So, a bond servant in ministry is a man who knows that I am a steward. You don't say, this is my church. It is the church of the living God. I am a steward as much as the choir member is a steward. Because the moment you leave the place of being a bond servant, you become a boss. And a boss can decide to rest when he's tired. A servant can rest only when he's done. So Paul was saying here that I am walking worthy of my calling because I am under. The problem we're having is that there are so many young ministers who have entered into the place of ownership. Stewardship is ministry. And in stewardship, there's no ownership. In stewardship, there's caretaking. You are taking care of something on behalf of the Lord. Such that however how large the ministry gets, it is not yours. You cannot decide at one point or the other to just do anything. It is not yours. Right. Thank God when my pastors are here. You see me. I remember what month was that I was sick. I was very sick. I was on oxygen. And I was looking at them. I gave these people assignments for ODC. I said, we should summarize something and send it to my mail. When they saw that this guy is just lying on the hospital bed and he's just on his mail reading the assignment and passing comments and replying those mails, you see, if we don't collect this guy's phone, this guy will just kill himself. Now, and I have a revelation in my heart. I am not the owner of anything. Sir, when we get to heaven, we'll give account as much as you will give account. So sometimes a church member is even more privileged than the pastor, because the church member doesn't have mentality of ownership. Meaning I cannot just come out in church and make any decision. Somebody cannot be misbehaving and I come and just deal with the person the way I feel. We have a boss. Eh? And my duty is to hear what he's saying. You know, Jesus said the same thing. He said, my Father worketh it out when I walk, and I do what I see my Father do. Because the work of a servant is to duplicate effect. Many people don't know this. Alright? Right, because the moment you come into the place of ownership in ministry, there's, how do you want to work with it? You are co-owner with God. Huh? If I'm mentoring a person, Pastor George is there. I was warning him some days. I said, don't call me daddy. I have too many people who are calling me that name now. Thank God he's around. He's going to see. Sometimes I just look at some young people. Daddy. You think God will want to catch you? Somebody just called you by your name. Femi. Don't you know I'm your pastor, you don't? And you see the lion in the daddy. But this one is not lion of the tribe of Judah. This one is lion of Pasha. Right. You are stimulated to pray and then you decide to sleep. You know why? Because you are still at the point of ownership. You are still at the point of ownership. You own everything. In fact, there are some people I fear. Those ones have come to a point that they make any decision. Say, you don't have to pray about this one. You don't have to pray. What do you want to do? You want to pray about this one. You have common sense, really. And later I say you are not getting results. You know, true maturity in the spirit realm is like foolishness. Because maturity is that, you see, maturity is not a journey to adulthood. Adults can decide. It's a journey to becoming a child. That's true maturity of the spirit. When you look at a child playing on the street and say, hey, look at the way you are, look at the way, the child will just go back and just leave. But if you tell an adult, you fight. True or not true? It's leading you back to becoming a child. Said, you, all of you Corinthians, I am Ephesians. I know people must have been hearing so many things about me. You must have been saying so many things. And as ministers of God, you must be careful the way people describe you, because don't let them idolize you, because you will just die before your time. Yeah, don't let them idolize you. No, I have a mentee then. 2009, I went to minister in this church, in their own church, in the career group. He was interested. I want to introduce my mentor. And I've worked with him. I've watched him. And I've concluded in my heart, I call him the walking Holy Spirit. Yes. something I will say in my heart. Don't sosa de kume. You don't marry. So sosa de kume. This same guy, at some point, he was rusticated in school. You get what I'm saying? He was rusticated. Then I gave him an instruction. Don't go home. Stay in academic environment. It will help you. So you not give up on school. Then he went to start a church. Am I his mentor? Eh? Talk to me. Am I his mentor? And one day I saw him on Facebook saying Adeboye should need to go and enroll back in Foundation Bible class. That there is a new generation with new knowledge. You know the Adeboye you are talking about? Somebody came into Redeem Church in 1997, precisely. He shared the story with us. And he came as a missionary. The church was funding him, doing many things. And then later God revealed to him that this guy is not a missionary, he's a spy. They are coming to check your method and duplicate it. And then he said, he called the person and asked the person, this is who you are, true or not true? And the guy said, yes. And he told the guy, please pack your things, leave. I hand you over to God. And while the guy was leaving, he had an accident. The car crushed him to death. Ever since that moment, if anybody offends him, he said, God bless you. Is that the man you call a child? You that you call yourself a pastor, you come out and members will offend you, curse them. In Africa, many pastors curse people. Say, if I be a man of God, you don't have the mind of Elijah, you have the mind of Christ. Because you see, authority is like a bar of soap. If you use it wrongly, it will keep diminishing. When God sees that your mouth is not tame, He will not give you authority. Because you can kill His investment. I mean, the root of failure over your life is in being the owner. You see, it must be rested resolutely within you. Over my life, I'm a poor servant. Look at yourself in the mirror. Just look at that person you are seeing there is to take charge. He will give account. You know, the day God taught me that, I will reward you for taking care of yourself. People don't take care of themselves. They just eat anyhow. They people can eat anything. They eat anything, rice, no meat, curry, and stuff. And you just prefer to just say they are saving and they just come die and probably nobody will open such your pocket.
Basically, you don't have to check your pocket. I mean, do you know what I'm saying? You just people dead and then just, I mean, that's respect, you move their clothes, and then move all their items. ATM and they can no longer use. Are you guess what I'm saying? This is how to work worthy of your point. This is an episode from it.
Paul! Paul! A bond servant! Those who see the ministry offices in the body of Christ as a noun, they usually fail. To those that pastor is a noun, because it's a title. But those who see it as a verb,
a pastor, one who tends for the sheep, one who cares for, they don't fail because they are busy doing.
True or not true? But those who see
it as a noun, they are busy sucking in names that, you know,
things that are bigger than them. See, don't you know I'm pastor?
In fact, when I see people that send me friend requests on Facebook and I see pastor, social for evangelist, so I don't
accept it. I don't accept it. If you have to tell us who you are not it. Mm-hmm. I don't. But they are the ones that will come and criticize. See, and me, I don't even have energy for argument. I don't see that you are offended by what I do. I'll just block you. See, don't be offended. We are brothers, so let's celebrate ourselves. I'm telling you. Why do you just go to? Though I know people have, I have a Facebook page too, apart from my account. If you go to my Facebook page, it's Femi Lazarus. You know what I'm saying? I've seen people come and greet me and like, ah, Pastor Femi Lazarus, I'm coming. And I'm looking at the person, what are you doing? Like, sit down, sir. Say, sir, somebody told me, I don't know whether to lie down or to kneel down. We must never leave that point of revelation. That see, this is a man that God will expose to influence. He was with me at Akura and I was saying, Pastor, I didn't know there are people. I look at the way everybody was shouting. I don't see everybody. I only see the work I come here to do. Don't you know they shouted after Jesus too? Hosanna today, crucify him tomorrow. It's better let me just face my assignment. True or not true? I'm telling you. That's how to be very, very wise in ministry. See, hi, Paul. Is this somebody that will say, nobody can talk to me anyhow in this church? Nobody can talk to me anyhow. There are members you cannot correct. If you correct them, they are gone. People say, I used to face this. One day I woke up and I said, I've been raped several times in ministry. You are abused. Don't just come. In fact, if I should type the word daddy on my WhatsApp, you see, and I'm like, you cannot call somebody father if you can't bear his weight. Am I giving you instruction for? Where's Pastor Joseph? When I just call you on phone and say, do you know you are the most irresponsible pastor on earth? I say, Pastor, I'm sorry, what have I done? Oh, sir, I'm sorry, I've come in now. I've done something. If you try to tell somebody like that, you see, I don't have time for all this kind of wahala. You know what I think that God has put me to. Many people cannot bear the weight of the Holy Ghost. He's not a teacher to them, he's an advisor. Because advice is more polite. A teacher tells you what to do. So the Holy Spirit just advises them. I say, why don't you do this? Why don't you do it like this? Pastor, here the way he said, I love the his own explanation of, you know, I love him so much, of the Holy Spirit as a teacher. He went to check one of their church sites. And then the Hausa man that was doing, he was doing something very bad. And the Holy Spirit was telling him, correct him. Correct this thing. He said, oh Lord, I don't want to correct all these things. And then so he just shunned it off and left him. So when he was leaving and he was shaking all of them, the same Hausa man grabbed his hand and held it. You know, the guy didn't know his hand is tough now. So he's been using the hand for short hair, all those kind of stuff. He's well taught. Held the hand. Pastor, was doing, and the man didn't leave the hand. And he said, okay, so this thing you didn't do very well. You didn't do very well. And that's a teacher. A teacher sometimes will allow you to go through some tough times and then say, this is what you should have done. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, I know, is not as gentle as you think he is. Except you are disobedient. And he keeps quiet. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes bad things happen to good people so they can learn. And then the Holy Ghost will withdraw. Let it happen so they can be taught. No, taking it without practical and theory. And the Holy Ghost is a master of both. See, he's my teacher. Really? Hi, Paul. Bond servant. No, I keep mentioning Pastor here, but I love him. I love him so much. And he said something during ministers' conference. And then he said, yeah, this camp is just one small mission house. Ha. Sir? Somebody is still pastoring 30 people. I say, so, yeah, I'm the pastor of the small mission house, how do you see things? And that's the reason why it keeps expanding. Those who have nothing don't pray. But those who have something are angry. What a sharp contrast. You know what I'm saying? I noticed that as a pastor, if you tell people, pray about this, you know, pray, everybody, pray. Those who have problems don't need to pray more. I've noticed. You not noticed? Yeah. You're a pastor, you should notice. Not only problem, I'm going to talk about that. So people will just be like this. I said, oh, shit, take that person away from the front. Yeah, we have shown this at one. Can you call your name and say hi? Put your name there, call your name, say hi.
Hi.
A born servant
of the Lord.
Say it again.
Hi.
You know, let me tell you something about servants in those days. Because we need to understand what Paul was saying. When Sarah, formerly Sarai, wasn't giving birth to any child, do you understand? She took Hagar and gave her to Abraham. It was not a good will. It was not a good will. What they do is that when Hagar gave birth to the child, as long as Hagar is a servant, she owns both Hagar and the child. So they can collect the child from her. She has nothing that she can do. And that's why she ran away with the child. And even when she... Now, Sarah was maltreating her. People of promise, you think they are angels. She was maltreating the girl to the point that the girl... When the servant ran out in those days, it means the servant is ready to die. And then the angel of the Lord met her and said, where are you running to? And I say, I'm running for my mistress, but she's maltreating me. Say, go back. And then somebody just woke up one morning and said, God told me to leave this church. I'm leaving. Which God? This one, they were maltreating the person. You, they are correcting you. Say, go back. You know, what is happening in the body of Christ today, Islam, is as a result of maltreatment of Sarah. That was when the judgment came. He said, this child that you are giving birth, that you have given birth to, that was when the pronouncement came. He said, he will be mighty amongst his brethren. He said, his land will not be few, but he will be a wild donkey. The hands of every man will be against him, and his hands against every man. Judgment. So Paul saying, I, Paul, a born servant of the Lord, he's saying, a word that confirms what is in Philippians 3 verse 7. Do you have a Bible to turn there? Turn the Bible there. Look at it. Philippians 3 7. Philippians 3 7. You are there, say amen. All right, can you read loud and clear?
Once thought things were gained to me, once I counted loss for Christ.
I want us to read it together with a loud voice. 1, 2, 3, go.
Once thought things were gained to me, though now I counted loss for Christ because of what Christ has done.
Everything that I gained to me, I count them as nothing for the sake of Christ. So a servant knows that the master owns him and all his products. Do you know what I'm saying? In ministry, it is not like God owns me, then I own my gift. No. It is not like God owns me, then I own my mentee. No. God owns me and everything that I am and everything that I have. Are you getting what I'm saying here? But sometimes we may agree that, yes, I agree that God owns me. But you still have a claim of ownership over things. No, sir. He owns me and everything. All right, let's continue. So we don't take time. So this is who I am. So I'm beseeching you that you will walk. Somebody say walk.
Walk.
Say it again.
Walk.
All right, what was the walk there? Ministry is not just a walk. It is a walk and a walk. What's the walk there? Right, the part of the just like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter to the perfect way. Alright? Meaning that it is a walk unto perfection of glory. Listen, pay attention. There are men who are walking but are not walking. They keep walking but they are the same way they are last year. They've not grown. The same scriptures they used to know. The same scriptures they know. And that's why I emphasize so much on training in the body of Christ. It must be training. Do you get what I'm saying? Somebody say, I'm a sound teacher. I'm a sound. You know, people are telling me that I was preaching somewhere and people were clapping and they were saying, I would say, which people? Sir. Because it matters to those who are applauding you. Eh? True or not true? I was given an instance and I said, if you are solving calculus, I love mathematics. And while you are solving calculus, someone in a lower class looks at you and say, fantastic, he's not even aware whether you get it correctly. I'm busy. Just look at all the steps and say, wow, beautiful. True or not true? But a prof can come. See, what's the meaning of this? The same thing with walking with God. If you are standing wearing a white shirt under a light like this, you feel a big boy today now. But if you stand outside under a greater light, then you look and say, ha, that was what happened to Isaiah. The day that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, a greater light. And I saw myself and said, woe is me. That's when ministry is a walk and a walk. A walk. There's no stagnancy. Movement in ministry is not that you are establishing new churches. Movement in ministry is that God is rooting out and is building. Because you have to build in and build out. You will root out and you will build. Each time God wants to build, you have to uproot. Abba. God is not like that. You see, it is one thing to have been talking about God, it's another thing to know his pattern. You cannot have authority in explaining scriptures if you have not participated in place of experience. See, when you are trying to talk about something that you have not entered the experiential participation, you will either talk about it as a weakling or you talk about it as a proud man. Because you have not participated. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Do you know what it means to be neck deep in sin and then God brought you out? If you have never been there before, you will either judge those who are doing it and just condemn them and they are getting deeper, you know what I'm saying, or you lack the authority of the word to bring them out. So there are ministers who are walking but they are not walking in participation. They say give tithe, they don't give it. They say give, they don't give. They say love, they don't love. So they are walking but they are not walking. The Jesus they are working for is saying, where is this fellow? So, he said, walk worthy of the vocation. So, the vocation was even placed last. So, it is not walk first, it is walk. I should be more excited when I'm praying than when I'm preaching. True or not true? I should be excited when it's time to go and then myself and the Lord and Baka Sukabadasha Mendigo Subra. And there are times you go to prayer, God will say, keep quiet. be still. And that's the prayer. Because prayer has not to do with speaking gibberish. It's communication. You heard what I'm saying there? And when God says stop, to now begin to shout is religion. It means you don't know the ways of the Spirit. But many of us, you want to go and pray, and then you get there, and then you are worshipping, it's not flowing. Has it happened to you before? I think it's every time it flows for us. Right? You worship, it's not flowing. And then you say, after 5 minutes, you know, you are just... And I say, I bless the Lord, I bless the Lord. You dance and dance and dance. Nothing is flowing. Be still. You are not supposed to operate anything when the anointing for it is not available. You get what I'm saying? And sometimes there is a weakness in your spirit that you'll have to push and break through in prayer. Yeah. That's another dimension. True or not true? This one, nothing is flowing, but you push. You keep pushing. And then you come to a point you enter the gushing realm. Because the confirmation that you are in alignment with God is not in the feelings. I don't know. See, when I finished praying, I felt good in my spirit. Keep quiet. They just don't work by feelings, they work by faith. I beseech you that you walk. You know, one of the most important prayers you can pray as ministers of God that is that may God help you to understand what you're saying. You may say many things, but you understand them. That's one of the most powerful prayers you can pray. Lord, help me to understand. Give you yourself, if you understand what you are saying, do you know what would have changed? Are you getting what I'm saying here? A lot. So we're having men who are not men of participation. They are like the allot that lost a child, you know, slept on a child. I've seen that thing happen really in real life. I was called to come and attend to a child in the orphanage home. The mother was about 16 years old. She got impregnated by some boys. And then, no babies now. And that's one of the problems in the body of Christ. Now, babies are trying to raise babies. And then she slept. And then at night she rolled and slept on the child. By the time she woke up, the child was flat. So that was the same thing that happened in the time of Solomon. This woman slept on her child. I don't have time to go there because there are ministers who sleep on their children. They are careless. When you become a pastor, you don't just talk anyhow. Because you know about situations of people. Sometimes you are talking about somebody's situation. Keep quiet. It bears offenses. Many are offended in church, but pastor is mentioning their situation. You can't just talk. You are sleeping on them, they will die. Are you getting what I'm saying here?
Yes.
You know, and this woman lost a child. And then went to pick another person's child in the night. And then drop her own child. It shows to us in the first place, one, that this woman is not in love with her child. She's in love with the idea of having a child. Because there are many people in ministry who are not in love with the people. They are only in love with the idea of being called a minister. So this set of people, if anything dies, as long as they are being called a minister, they are not touched. Even when things die in their spiritual life, as long as people still call them pastors, they are not touched. No matter what the devil buries them into, as long as they are still called ministers, they are not touched. And God is saying, anything can happen to a man who is not a born servant. I want to say that anything. Don't think you can. The day you feel you have come to a point as a minister of God that nothing can happen to you, you are lost. Because we must know that the devil doesn't sleep and he doesn't slumber. He roams about like a wounded lion, trying not to, looking for whom to devour. So I'm very careful of the way I carry myself. And I cannot tell a girl, come and sit down on my lap, nothing will happen, you are fine. Come and sit down. But a minister of God knows that the instruction is not that you should flee from evil. It's that you should flee from appearance of evil. Right? It is not evil, but it looks like it. Beware. So we are just playing. What kind of play is that? Are you a joker? Because there are many jokers in ministry. Many people are just joking, just playing cards. Have you seen pastors who just sit down and watch film from morning to night? There are children, they will bath him. Nollywood. No, I don't tolerate all those nonsense. trying to ask a lady out. And say, I have a policy. There's no king in my house. I say, can you come here? Yeah, we know what you do. Who feels that to you? Quiet. There's no king. I don't want to have children at age 3. I say, idiot. No, I don't want that. When you do something, I say you are blessed.
Yeah. I must watch him. How would I be doing?
Lee.
What will I be doing? If I don't do, what will I be doing? There are many things to do. I will teach you how to catch fire with scriptures. You will read the Bible, you will see movies on the face of it. The story of David becomes alive to you. Say, hey, come on, Baba. Have you been in the room and then you have a passport that you close to? I just say, yeah, nobody's playing ball. But he says something. That's how to catch one with the things of this world. And of course, we have many people on the altar who are using the Bible to preach to people, but the Bible does not preach to them. They find words of life for people, but they are dying. And that's why follow the process. Follow the process. Don't jump. There's something called guru to the answer. Don't do magumago. It's not objective, it's theory. Don't say, I got the answer is B. It's B, the Magere. Amen. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Before I continue, I want us to ask God, Lord, sit upon me. You must sit. Sit upon me, Lord. Sit. I am not in a hurry, I'm not rushing. In Jesus' name we are praying. One of the things God told me about this retreat is that some people, it is not their fault that they are misbehaving. They've just been people who are hungry and have entered unfortunate situations to be under men who have left God. And God said, there's going to be change of power.
Amen.
Have you seen genuine people of God who are hungry? They went here because they were looking for God, but they showed them something else. They are hungry. They want God. But now they are meeting something else. And some people are blessed people, but unfortunately they have wrong leaders. God collects people from people. Are you getting what I'm saying? The church, they are primarily God's people. And he gives them to a noble shepherd. I'm praying in the body of Christ. May there be change of power.
Amen.
May there be change of power.
Amen.
May there be righteous rebellion.
Amen.
It is not anybody who lives a covenant that is rebelling. Don't let anybody bring you into a cult. Sometimes there need to be righteous rebellion. Just notice that there's nothing here. Many ministries have come. They are touching without candlestick before the Lord.
Amen.
Nothing is speaking on the altar. But yet they just manage the people. Maintenance ratio. Give them, you look at what I'm saying here. Collect the tithe, collect the offering. You know, I interact with people and I see that nothing has changed in their lives. Nothing has been transformed. And I'm angry because these guys are going to a church. And the question is, what is the work of a priest if there's no transformation? Pastor, sit down. Okay, no, come on, sit down here. Come on, sit down by seat. Let's celebrate Pastor Lalu.
Okay.
It was my PA before he went for service. Now he's a very big man of God. Please sit down, man of God. He's so humble. God bless you. Wow. There's going to be a holy rebellion in the body of Christ. Say big amen.
Amen.
God will collect people forcefully.
Amen.
He will deliver them.
Amen.
The same way you are saying amen, I want to pray for you too. That if you are not faithful with the people God has placed in your hands, may you collect them.
Amen.
Say big amen.
Amen.
See, if you can say amen now, it means you love the body of Christ.
Amen.
Because many only love the idea of ministry, not the works.
Amen.
So don't be like that prostitute that killed her own child and killed her, take another one. You know what I'm saying here? We are not men who are fascinated by the idea. The day my life start bearing wrong truth, and then many people are going to hell because of me, it is better. When Christ said that it is better for a man that a rope be tied around his neck and cast into the sea than any of these small ones to stumble because of him, he's saying that the man needs to know too. He needs to know that the moment my life start dragging us people to hell, it is better I stop ministry. There is such a there is a noble retirement. You can retire in ministry with mobility. You notice that you have crossed some lines, some things no longer matter to you. Now your life is, you can retire. Don't be like Eli. If Eli had left honorably, sir, he will live longer. True or not true? You can retire. I'm praying for the body of, may there be holy rebellion.
Amen.
Like God said to Samuel, he said, don't weep over Saul again. See, I have found another king. And he found a 17-year-old boy. So it doesn't matter what the age is. What matters is the heart. True or not true? May God begin to find new pastors for people. See, this year I told God on my birthday that I told him some things I wanted to do. And particularly I cried to God that I want there to be a war against Yahoo boys. Yeah. And I was telling my people that if anybody just come, God, there are steam boots underwear. Alright, carry the fire of God, somebody just come to touch you, that it will just die. You know what I'm saying here? God, I'm concerned about the body of Christ. The way some people demand and make mockery of members who don't have are pushing members of some churches to go and steal. The moment some people have money, they put them in front. When some people don't have money, they stylishly scorn them. And some people are begging money to their pastor, saying, this is what you've been wanting all your life. Take some. And the man thinks it is honor. People are being pushed to do all sorts of things. And this same way, don't pray for them. If you don't have, they make you feel like God is not anywhere. But didn't they know that there is time and season? Sometimes you hear of the way church treats widows and orphans, and you are amazed. Is this still the church of God or a place of collection of money? Because it seems anybody who doesn't have money now, the church perceives them as a liability. Are they not a true asset? Are they not our epistles? Are they not our investment? Talk to me. I'm praying for the body of Christ. May there be holy revolution.
Amen.
Alright, so somebody tell me. I think I was sharing a case with Dr. Henry this morning of Dr. Victor, who was putting some things on Facebook. And then a woman was abusing pastors. And then those pastors, I can't trace the program, I've shown you. They were having programs like polygamy, you know, polygamy sound biblical principle. You've not seen anything. See programs like I'm not a Christmas goat. Give me a wife or I die. I must marry this year. Who took meat for my pot? I'm not joking. You don't mean it. Yes. Who took meat for my pot and left the rice there? There are different programs. And when you see this thing, you wonder who called these men? Who called them? Who called them? And that's why I say there will always be difference between a man that God called and the one that the church called. There's going to be clarity. You wonder. So it was saying the woman was abusing those men and was saying they are pastors on pampas. When I saw it, he tagged me on the post. I tagged Elfrida Nora. May I will not talk. I read through everything. I called him. Man of God, you are going far. Delete the post. Say why? Because what that woman is doing is needed in the body of Christ. Some people don't have wisdom. They need the body of, you get what I'm saying? It is needed. But that you will not volunteer yourself to do it, you will be chastised too. Because Because if you use a cane to flog a child, you keep the child and throw away the cane. I don't want to be a cane to flog ministers. So the only way I can prefer a solution is that I will build my own house well and teach the truth there. And I will make sure I protect my sheep, that you don't teach them wrong things. That's the right solution. I am not called first and foremost to build the body of Christ. I have been called to build my ministry in the body of Christ. And that ministry is not mine personally, I'm a steward of it. Are there pastors who are stealing? Yes. They steal church money. They eat it. I'm telling you. You just tell the person in there, hey, alright, kill the hey, one pastor. I'm telling you. No accountability. Nothing. Are there pastors who are messing up God's people? Yes, they are. True or not true? May there be a wind in the body of Christ. May God embarrass as many who are using his name for cover up.
Amen.
Before 31st of December, may there be a violent wind.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I think I was playing a voice note for them yesterday of a friend from Botswana. He was crying. Somebody was crying to her. But she had already first cried to me and we had to pray together. And she said, I believe my pastor. I love my pastor. She loves the church. Until the pastor called her to the room and tried to sleep with her. Sir, at what point will a man get to a point where he's sleeping with church members and he's still preaching? Is it ordinary? Can you say you just started today?
No.
Ah. See, this is my first time. The devil is not that bad, sir. It can't be your first time. Quiet. You are preaching. You are looking at somebody in the face. The same person you are sleeping with. And your wife is there. And you are still preaching. And you have 1, 2, 3, 4. Ah! And you say it is just the devil. No, sir. There is an alignment. You are cooperating with something. You've been doing it for a while. It's not instant. True or not true? Yes. And people will do everything to shield their vocation of ministry at the expense of walking worthy of it. Do you understand what I'm saying there? You will do everything to shield the fact that your perception about me is still true. Meanwhile, I'm dying. So let me shield my death. I don't care if I die, but just perceive correctly about me. And that's why, except the Lord comes to tap a man and say, look back. The man is going. One of the blessed things that can happen to you is that the voice of instructors over you is not withered. That there are people that can look at you in the face and tell you, you are missing it. And they will tell you, all right, leave ministry. Quit now. Leave it. All right, let somebody else go and occupy his position. All right, go. Go for a retreat. People can. This one, they are not giving you advice. Oh. Instruction. Not the one you say, I will think about. You think about what? Yeah, I would think about it. You are messing up. Say, go there. Do and do this. You want to think about it. The voice of instructors over you not be with that.
Amen.
If Uriah was a pastor and David was a pastor, under which of them would you want to be? The one who would sleep with his own wife and also sleep with another person's wife, or the one that would not even touch his own wife because he has to be in the battlefront? Because we have rated ministry by the things we can see. There are men who are silently pulling things. And they are not known. As I will get forever, there will be shock. There will be surprises. Because we see that the battle is not for the strong. The race is not for the swift. But time and chances has happened to us all. That is, we have been given our own chances with time. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Who are you? He would not even go, even when he was drunk. So maybe he was ashamed, he was just being shy of the king. This guy is ruthless. There are two ways by which God substitutes men. One, he takes them away, doing another person. Two, he keeps them there, but somebody else will be doing the essence of the job. And that's the pain, that's the one that is more rampant. Many pastors are just on the podium, but there's another man in gap. And this is one thing about ministry. They keep collecting salary, somebody else is collecting reward. There are two different things. Did you get what I'm saying here? And then somebody just trying to protect. If ministry has become for you a job, all you have to do is the salary. Just salary will come, and then guinea come, and then there's some people that it has become, that's their life. May God raise the right church in us. May the body of Christ be sanctified.
Amen.
May he root out.
Amen.
And may he plant new people.
Amen.
May he expose things.
Amen.
May the fire of the Lord reveal secrets.
Amen.
May the body of Christ be purified. Amen. You know, if you go to minister on campuses and you ask them, you are currently going through molestation under a pastor on campus, and you see that in your heart and everything, you're offended, come forward. You'll be amazed. And dozens of people that will come forward crying. Some will not come forward publicly, but they will come and meet you, pastor. I didn't know how to come forward then because I was sitting beside my pastor, and that same pastor is the one that has been sleeping with me. I beseech you, brethren, that you would what? Walk worthy. Walk worthy of the vocation. Not the vocation first, the walk first. It is not about a man doing it quick, it's about a man doing it right. You may go fast and not go far. Many innocent people crying, slaves, even where they ought to be expressing freedom. But these guys are still preaching. I understand that God doesn't bury his wounded soldiers, he healed them completely. How can they be healed when they are not yet correction? And that's why there is a need for retreat. In the place of retreat, God will call us to retreat, and he will not begin to rewind cases. So when you were running, you didn't notice this one that's falling. Let's pick it up again. Let's amend it. Do you get what I'm saying here? When you were busy doing so and so, you didn't notice something is put here. So let's repair it. You will not know what is getting. You know, and I gave you an example of what happens when a person has cancer. Cells are damaged. And they keep replicating. They keep spreading. And you get what I'm saying here? They keep invading the body tissues. They multiply. Zombie cells everywhere. But in a place of retreat, the light of God will come like radiotherapy. Begin to scan and start burning anything that the Lord has not planted. Begin to purify them. Start purifying them. But when light is shining, you don't run through, you wait for scanning. And that's why time for retreat is a time to wait. You have been doing. Now is the time to come and wait. Don't preach. Don't sing. Wait. Before this morning came, I sat down here. Yesterday night, he was studying and then praying. I started to sit down on the floor. I was reviewing the things God was saying I should share, because this thing is double-edged sword. As it is piercing the pew, it is piercing the preacher. And I'm seeing the Lord. In this area, I cannot come and teach as one who has attained. Help me first. Help me. Sit upon me. If not, I will not have the authority to preach this one. My conscience is not there. Help me. This is the prayer of a pastor. You know what I'm saying?
Because you can be giving vaccination to people, but we are dying of the same ailment. See, God help me. If you don't help me first, I won't go anywhere. I've not come to make noise in this generation. I need help. To everyone. Until you help me, we are not going anywhere. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Because we can be rating ministry as our ability to help others. And that's why I showed you that as we build up our spirit, the heavyweight lifters are those who can lift themselves. Not those who can lift a generation. A man who tames himself is more powerful than a man who can tame a whole city. So if I can become heavyweight lifter like Paul and say, I put my body under, I'm a powerful man, sir.